Now, 25 minutes to 9, Gavin Steinhobel from Kloppers Inc. has arrived. Nice to see you again, Gavin.
Yeah, good to see you, Dave.
And if I gave you some headphones...
Yeah, there we go. Then I'd be part of the conversation.
I must speak to Gaselli about that. He changes my settings.
Oh, does he? I'll give him a word with the man.
Yeah, well, you know, he's getting old. Now, Gavin, I wanted to chat with you, you know, because you're an attorney of note and particularly strong in the world of property. And I thought what I would do is speak to my new friend, ChatGPT, a.k.a. Grok, and ask him or her or it what... the biggest fears of the legal fraternity, particularly in your chosen field, are when it comes to property matters. And they said, ooh, excellent question. A very practical one, especially in the South African property context. When it comes to property transactions, attorneys, especially conveyors, carry significant legal and financial responsibility. Their biggest fears usually center around liability, fraud, and delays, all of which can damage their reputation and expose them to claims.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
And you do this voluntarily and willingly.
I know. And sometimes you look at the fee and you're doing a 50 million rand transfer and you say, well, you know, if this goes all terribly pear-shaped... and I'm exposed to liability for 50 million rand, you know, the fee barely justifies the risk.
I mean, it's a terrifying scenario that you're talking about.
I remember the late John Christie, I think, registered the bond over what is now the Gateway and the building bond, and it was hundreds of millions of rands, possibly a billion, and he was tasked with registering that bond. And if he lodged it in the deeds office and it was rejected and it came out and it took another week to go back in, the lender would have lost the interest on that amount of money for a week, and they would have had some liability for it. And so, yeah, we do take on quite a lot of responsibility. You try not to think of it. But he said he went through that deed must be 1,000 times before he lodged it, and he didn't sleep the night before. So there is a bit of stress. But, what we do is essentially we're a cog in a system that absolutely guarantees and ensures to you when you sell your property and it's transferred into another person's name, it is gone, okay? And we assure you that we will have taken care of the finances and that you will be paid on that day the full purchase price.
And which is quite something, because there are many links in that chain, and you're only as strong as the weakest one.
Well, we do sort of cover it all. So what we'll do is we won't obviously allow a matter to register until what happens is just before the day before the registrar bangs his stamp down on the new title deed and cancels the old title deed, in which case that property now is owned by the new owner and it's irreversible. Then the day before, it comes up on prep, or what we call in the office, it comes up on fees, and you make sure that you do your dummy account that reflects what's going to happen tomorrow when it registers. We've got to pay the municipality, we've got to pay the estate agent, you know, we've got to pay the guys who came and did the etymology and the electrical inspections, and we've got to, you know, the agent might have bridged his commission, we've got to pay the bridging company. We've got to pay the bank because there's a bond that was cancelled, and we gave the bank a guarantee that we'd pay them for the bond that's cancelled, so that they're all square. And then we've got to pay the seller what's left. And so
it's a hell of a process.
And so, yeah, well, I mean, my paralegals do it every day, and we pay out millions every month, and it's always spot on. Touch wood. And so, yeah, so there is that anxiety that there's a lot of balls in the air just before a property registers. But, you know, we're used to dealing with it. So what we'll normally do, and that's if you're just a layman and you sell your property and you just want to sensibly look at the agreement that you've just concluded, make sure that it provides for the purchase price to be fully secure in the attorney's trust account before the matter goes to the deeds office. What does it mean to be fully secure? Well, there's only two ways to secure it in my mind, and those are the only two I will accept as the conveyancer. One is the cash is in my trust account and under my control.
And that could be from a bank as a bond.
No, and then the second way of doing it is that you have a bank that's about to register a bond against the property when it transfers into your name, and that bank gives me a bank guarantee.
Okay.
Now, bank guarantees are sacrosanct, and they all pay out. And a bank will lose its credibility overnight if it defaults on a guarantee. That is just an unwritten law of commerce, that banks honor their guarantees. We'll only take a guarantee from a South African registered bank. So we wouldn't take a guarantee from another attorney's firm, or we wouldn't take a guarantee from anybody else, a foreign bank or anything like that. They have to deposit the monies with a South African bank and get a guarantee against that, because we've got recourse in South Africa. We don't want to be chasing somebody abroad for money because we've transferred something on a guarantee that didn't pay out. So it's a pretty regimented and strict system, and the reason that it is because obviously there's a whole lot of risk associated with the transfer process.
What you're saying, because I know a lot of properties in this area are being bought by foreign buyers, and clearly they have foreign banks. Mm. So that deal has to be done between their bank and a South African bank before you'll accept it.
Well, what happens with foreign buyers is as a non-resident, you are allowed to buy a property in South Africa, but you're only allowed to mortgage half. So half the value. So you're only allowed to take out a mortgage loan for half the value of the purchase price. So you will have to show, if you do take a mortgage loan, you will have to show in terms of the relevant exchange rate regulations and so forth, you'll have to show that you brought in half in cash. So you will have to transfer half into my trust account. And there it is. The half is in cash. We report it to the Reserve Bank. We get a reporting number. And so the cash is now free and available in my trust account. If you do take a bond, it'll have to be through it can be through a foreign bank, but it's very, very rare that foreign banks would be interested in doing mortgage work here. What you will do is they inevitably approach a local bank and say, look, you know, I have the ability to pay, and I'm going to take a mortgage for 50%. Foreign banks can register bonds here. There's no problem with that. They just have to file a certificate to say they don't ordinarily do business in South Africa, but this is an exception. For example, if they make a loan to a company that's got assets all over the world, they might want bonds in various of the countries. If they can't file a certificate saying they don't do business here, then they actually have to register as an external company. So you go to the Cipro and you say, listen, we're this company limited from the US, and we are going to start doing some lending here, or we're going to have staff here, employ people here, and then they will give that company an external company number, but it has to have an office in South Africa so that there's somebody accountable. And
it's
so
all it's very complicated.
It is a bit complicated, but it's not really, because we're so used to dealing with it that we
but
just.
But it sounds like, you know, we're living in a world where, sadly, there are many, many folk that have a bit of a tendency towards the criminal enterprise, and wherever there's big money, you can almost rest assured there's an opportunity there for.
Yeah, so one of the things that is that we should probably speak about is the racket where people intercept emails, change banking details, and people pay into the wrong account. Now, it's very important as a consumer or just a citizen to understand how this happens, okay? Ordinarily, when you're online and you want to register on a website, it'll say, give your name or your email address. And ordinarily, you'd say, well, I'll just give my email address, you know. And then it says, create your own password. So if you're going to use the same password as your email address password, or the password that you use for everything else on that website, they now have your email address and the password to your email. You've just given it to them.
Wow.
And then they go into your server or your email host. They type in and say, well, I'm this guy, that's my email address, and then they put in the password, and now they have your incoming mail, and they just scan it. And when they see somebody send you an invoice, they'll delete it in your inbox, They'll create a dummy address very similar to the one you're expecting the mail from, and then they'll PDF change the banking details on the invoice that was sent to you, and you're paying to the wrong banking account, and that money's gone. You'll never see it again.
Wow.
Okay, so it is important, one, never to give your email address and your email password to anybody simultaneously, okay, firstly. Secondly, it's essential, if you are going to make large payments, to at least phone the company concerned or the attorney's firm concerned and say, listen, I've got this invoice to pay. Can you just confirm on the telephone what your banking account details are?
Do people... I mean,
they do that, yes, and we encourage it, and you know, we also tell people that our banking details won't ever change, and it happened to one of our clients about probably 5 or 6 years ago, and it was devastating. It was a lot of money that was gone, and they went to the local SAP. I mean, you can imagine.
So that money was lost. You know,
yeah. The SAP's response was, we. We must go to the auto bank and print out the statement. In any event, but that money is lost because that person's email address had been compromised. And so,
God, it's so scary.
It is scary, but it's very simple to avoid. You know, you've got to box clever. And we generally, when we make payments, obviously we go through two or three tiers of checking that everything's right. We generally won't pay a seller unless they've physically been in our office and signed an instruction to pay with their banking details correct. So everything's fairly tightened up. But that is the commonest fraud that there is, and it's so easy to avoid. Just don't give anybody your email password. And what you should really do is go onto your emails once or twice a year and just change your password for the sake of changing it.
Very good advice. Yeah. And who does that? I mean, I tend to keep the same password because anyone I can remember, well, but that's wrong.
The best, yeah. And then be very fastidious when you read the mail of the person who sent you. Compare it to their previous email address because they'll change one letter and just create a new email address, you know. So you can check on that kind of thing. So, but generally, the forgery of the invoice is so good, you won't pick it up. Yeah, so that's just a very, very simple way of avoiding making that mistake.
And of course, it always.
We also encourage people, if you've got to pay in 10 or 20 million rand into our trust account, transfer 500 rand.
First.
Make sure it's gone through. We've confirmed that we've received it, and then do the balance. So you've already created the payment instruction or the identity of the person you're going to pay on your bank, and you just pay again a second time into that. That's also one way of ensuring that if you are being duped, you're only going to lose small amounts of money, and we'll on the other end say, well, we didn't receive it, you know, something's wrong here.
Can you believe it's that complicated? Or it can be, unless you've got a really good attorney or a good firm working on your behalf. You are subject to the slings and arrows of fate and fortune. And in this world that we live in, it's always a complicated, could be a very expensive exercise to transact when you have possibly been scammed by
ever use your email address as your name to register in something and then give the exact same password that you use to access your emails, because you've opened a can of worms.
And that's where we leave it today, with very much the caveat from our attorney at law, Gavin Steinhobel. And if you need a good attorney, especially when it comes to property transactions, you're talking to Kloppers Inc. in Belita, and Gavin Steinhobel. He is a man for all seasons in that regard. Gavin, we'll catch up in a week's time for another chat.
Thank you, Dave.
And the morning show continues.